Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 258. We'll call this a 10th anniversary show, and happy DNF. Yeah, I ran or attempted to run the Belmonte Endurance Run 50K on Saturday, March 10th, and that was a DNF. Got some audio clips from that. Lessons learned, big time, humbling experience. Here it is several days later. It's the week of March 13th, 2018. My calves are still really letting me know what went on. I was a real jackass by going out there and trying to run that without proper training. I just wasn't properly prepared. I'll kind of analyze that a little bit more as the show goes on. But on a positive note, this is the 10th anniversary show. I was just going back through my digital files, looked at podcast episode 1, which I posted on March 6th, 2008. And so it has been over 10 years now, 258 episodes later. It's been quite a journey with the podcast and the people I've met along the way. Initially did the podcast for some fun and to kind of hold myself accountable and to kind of digitally document my long-running endurance kind of journey, which is a very personal thing. It's something I'd like to share with other people that I do through the podcast. But, you know, when I'm out there doing those runs by myself, you know, it's obviously very personal. A lot of things go through your head, and sometimes I do reflect on some of those things in the podcast. And so, as a result, the podcast 10 years later is still pretty healthy. Get about 200 downloads a show, which has been down from, I think at one time, I think it peaked around 500 episodes a show. And that's when I was putting it out more often. That tends to happen, I think. But after I kind of dialed it back a bit to two a month, sometimes one a month, obviously you're going to lose some listeners, which is okay with me. I've got a nice core group of folks that I communicate with from time to time, and several of them have emailed in as requested in the last show. People that have listened to the show for a while, kind of been along on the journey with me, at least virtually, if nothing else. And I'm sure there are plenty of others out there that listen to the show on a regular basis and have never emailed me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And that's fine. It's a free podcast, and you're free to do with it what you want. You know, consume it, respond, delete it. You know, you can do whatever you want. I'm just a middle of the pack, ordinary nobody. And boy, I felt that way this past Saturday. So let's get into that a little bit. I've got some audio clips that I'm going to put forth here. The first one is of the race director, Francesca Conti. Can't really hear that well, so I'm not going to play too long of that, but then I get into some of the other ones. The first 5 miles of the race were brutal, and I think I might have known at that point that it was going to be one of the hardest days I've had in a while, if not the hardest. So let's listen to some of these clips, and of course I'll be commenting on it. All right, what the race director is talking about is the Belmonte Endurance Runs event is three races, 50 mile, 50K, 25K. I registered for the 25K. I mean, correction, the 50K. That was the one I didn't finish. All races started at the same time at the Royal Oaks Resort, which is a small mountaintop resort, which has cabins. My wife and I, Monica, rented a cabin for the weekend up there. Race started at 6 a.m., got out there, you checked in. The first couple miles were ups and downs on the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is just a beautiful route through Virginia, North Carolina. And then it entered the woods. The 25K was going to be the turnaround for the 25K was an unmanned location. And when I ended up getting to it, they had these little hole punches. And then if you forgot the hole punch, they had secret words, which was gopher on the signs. I thought that was kind of clever. So that's what she was talking about. Let's get into the next clip.
2.5 miles on the road, about in White Falls Rock Trail. Sun finally came up. It's beautiful up here in the mountains.
So yeah, about 2.5 miles on the road, then it entered the woods. I think it was White Rock Falls, not White Falls Rock Trail. Mile or so on that, maybe, first stream crossing came up, which was no big deal because there was plenty of rocks to cross over. But I went in the water.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a surprise more than anything.
Now you're gonna run wet.
Just 1 foot. So I don't know if that's good or not.
You have another one. That's what God gave us.
That's right.
So really getting 1 foot wet wasn't that big of a deal. I was able to take care of that at the end of the segment when I got up to the first aid station, which was Slacks Overlook. Not really an aid station, it was just water, but my wife didn't meet me there, and I went ahead and changed into dry shoes and dry socks. However, before I got to that, it was really slow going up the ascent. It was really slow. And this was still near the beginning of the race.
My heart's gonna beat out of my chest. My heart is gonna beat out of my chest. Woo! Man, this is a climb. All right, first climb, still on it. I got out of breath. Almost 4 miles in. I already went in the stream. Might be able to hear it down there. I thought I was gonna be all cool and jump across the rocks, and I slipped. And my right foot went all the way through into the water. So I got one wet foot, one dry foot. Feels like my heart's gonna beat right out of my chest. And it's one of those feelings where you're on the side of the mountain and you feel like the gravity's pulling you off the trail to the right down the hill. Another climb coming.
All right, at this point, not even an hour in, maybe about an hour into the race, and I remember having a thought go through my head, how long can my heart beat at this intensity before I have some kind of health problem? I was not prepared for that climb. I did not realize it would be a steep right at the beginning of the race. I don't know why I didn't know that. Like I said earlier in this episode, I was pretty much a jackass for going out there without knowing that. And I paid for it later, that's for sure. I didn't give up right there, though, but boy, those thoughts started going through my head, knowing that I was going to have to return on that route and go down that towards the end of the race. This was a long 50K, 34.4 miles, I believe is what it was. So that turnaround was at 17.2. It wasn't just a regular 50K. It was, you know, one of those long ones, quote, long ones.
Okay, it's about 8:43 in the morning. 10 miles in at 2:34. That's pretty sad. It's really slow going the first 8 miles, really. Gotta be the hardest 8 miles I've ever done, up and down. Some really steep switchbacks. And then some were not switchbacks, just up the side of the mountain at an angle. So, doing a little math in my head, to get the 17 miles and some change at 4.5 hours is, well, I think I could probably make it now. Most of the what I've been on the last 2 miles has been flat. But boy, just the whole idea of that climb at the tail end of the race, last 6 miles, there's one climb in there, probably 2 miles. Oh, just thinking about that is pretty daunting. So I'm still where I'm at the turnaround, which is 17 mile mark. This is a 34 miles, 50K. No, it's not. It's more than 50K. And then there was a realization actually set in where I may not finish because of the cutoffs. Not really sure how to think about that at the moment, so maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just get to the next aid station, go from there. I will say I'm not feeling it today. I don't know why. I love the scenery, it is pretty. Obviously, I'm not hell trained, but I was still able to walk up the mountain climbs and recover. So, just a matter of a lot of walking. I guess the ascents are a little bit longer than I anticipated. But I've exchanged some pleasantries with a lot of people out here. The 25K folks have already turned around and headed back. And that was kind of weird because that was around like the 8.6 mile mark on my Garmin. But I know mountain miles on the Garmin aren't the same, but it's really all I have to measure right now. So it's probably farther. I guess we'll see how that plays out with mine as I get to the turnaround. I'll definitely make it to the 50K turnaround. How far past that remains to be seen before I might not make a cutoff. Kind of funny that I'm thinking about that.
All right, so the way the aid stations worked for the 50K, they had fluids only at the first one, which was 4.8 miles in. That was called Slacks Overlook. That was accessible by vehicle off the Blue Ridge Parkway. So my wife met me there. That's where I switched into some dry shoes. I did not switch to warm gloves. I was getting cold already, and I think I put on a dry hat and I waited. I should have changed into warm gloves, dry gloves there, but I did not, because I remember leaving that wishing that I had. Because the next aid station, Camp Marty, which was at 6.9 miles, that was before went down, descended the mountain for a couple miles on some pretty steep switchbacks. That was a full aid station, but just not accessible by crew. And then the next one was a place called Turkey Pen, which was at 13.6. So that's a six, almost 7 mile stretch in there. It looks like 6.7 miles in between. That was a beautiful flat part of the race. I loved it through there. It was really cool. I met up with some other runners there, just chit chatted a little bit, kind of passed each other. A couple guys were obviously running together because they had walking sticks, and they kept pulling off. They were doing the 50 miler. They would pull off and stop for a little bit, and then I'd catch up to them, and then they'd pass me, and we just kind of chit-chatted a little bit. That big, long stretch there is what I'll analyze that a little bit later in the podcast, because that was going to be a stretch there where I was going to be without aid, and then I was not going to be able to be picked up by my wife at Camp Marty, and so that's when I had to make a decision. But I really love that section through there, and part of that was Jeep Road, which was really cool. It was kind of rolling a little bit, but there was a single track part of that trail that was down in this valley, and it was just gorgeous. And I didn't get to see it on the inbound. I only saw it outbound, but it really was pretty.
All right, 15. Yes, sir. Good job. Like I said, 15.15 miles. Just left Turkey Pen 8 station. I got to get to Kennedy 8 station, which is the turnaround, by 10:30. Right now it's 9:49 a.m. So I need to move along here. I'll probably make that one. And then I turn back and do Turkey Pen again, 3.5 miles. That's the one I'm not sure I'm gonna make. I mean, obviously I'll try. And even if I do, and then I go on, I'm not sure I'll make the next one, which goes back up the mountain. And I have pretty much had my ass handed to me on the way outbound. It's been a while since I had my ass handed to me. Pretty humbling. Very humbling.
So the Turkey Pen 8 station was at 13.6. That was at the end of that long, I think it was 6.7 stretch of between the 8 stations there. 6.7. And I made Turkey Pen fine. Then there was just a 3.5 to the Kennedy Trail turnaround, which was the turnaround for the 50K. My crew, Monica, was there at Turkey Pen at Kennedy Trail. I came in to Kennedy Trail just a few minutes really before the cutoff, which was 10:30 a.m. I got in there, I think 10:17, I think is what there's an audio clip with that. That was concerning because that was only the halfway point, and I didn't know how strict they were going to be with the cutoffs, and that became my crutch, my mental excuse at that point to quit later, as that's what I clung on to, and because you always need an excuse when you're going to quit. The real reason why I quit is because I wasn't good enough to run the course. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's just the truth. Wasn't properly trained and I couldn't do it. It was just too hard for me to do. So I probably will return to this thing someday because I'm not going to let it completely beat me. But it definitely beat me on March 10th.
Good job, man.
Is this another cutoff down here?
Yeah, I think it's 11:30. Uh-oh. I think we got that one.
Yeah.
All right, so made it to Kennedy 8 station at 10:17 a.m., which is 13 minutes about before the cutoff. Maybe 17 minutes before the cutoff, because I think the race technically started a few minutes after 6. And that's the halfway point. I was at 17.2, so the mileage is matching up pretty good. Thing that concerns me is that definitely would do the second half much slower, and I'm gonna have a decision to make here soon. I'm gonna go back to Turkey Pen 8 station at that's about 20.5 mile mark because I can't get picked up. In fact, I can't get picked up until the end. I won't have any access to my crew. So I got a decision I gotta make. I'm crossing over a big, kind of a big river creek now. They got a rope swing because it's a big swimming hole on one side. It looks pretty deep, but on a hot day, that'd be nice. It's just getting cold. Not feeling good. Of course, it's kicking my ass. I mean, I'm still having fun, but I'm being realistic too.
And I did make it back to Turkey Pen 8 station, which was inbound. After I did the turnaround at Kennedy Trail, everything was inbound from there. Turkey Pen was almost 21 miles. It was like 20.87, something like that. And that was gonna be the last time I would see my crew until the end of the race, because it skipped Slacks Overlook. It went from Turkey Pen to Camp Marty and then to the end. And I had a decision to make because the back part, the top of my hamstrings in the back were done, and I knew I was going to have to do two climbs. And I did not want to quit, but I wanted to quit. I was not into the race anymore. I had kind of mentally checked out from finishing. I was worried about the cutoffs because I was going to be walking, obviously walking the climbs. And I've also had promised my wife way back after I hurt my feet when I did my first 50 miler when I was out of commission for 2 weeks that I would not injure myself doing these things. So I had a lot of stuff working against me in my brain as I was, going through things. I've had one DNF before, so it wasn't like I had this kind of running race streak that I needed to keep alive. I've walked off a course before when it just wasn't happening. So I decided to do that at this race. And it was a hard decision because I was disappointed. And I had regret when we were sitting back in the cabin watching people finish, people that I had was outbound with, that I talked with, that I knew were struggling too. And they came in at the before the 9-hour cutoff, which was just amazing and inspirational. So I when I got back to Turkey Pen, I went over and thanked all the volunteers, and I told the clipboard guy that 245 is out. He asked if I had a ride. I said, yeah, my wife is here, and I wanted a ride back. I didn't want to have to sit and wait, which I would have had to do had I made it back to Camp Marty by some miracle if I had been able to climb that mountain and get back there and then wait until somebody could take me back to the start-finish because that was only accessible by race vehicle officials. It was a Jeep road, and you couldn't just get any car up there. It wasn't allowed. So yeah, that's the decision I make, and so I got in the car.
All right, I'm back in the car. It's 11:07, and quit DNF 21 miles mark about. I did my 25K. I guess I can wear the shirt around the house as long as I put DNF on it. And the shirt says 50 miles, 50K, and 25K. Although I think that's still cheating, but I think if I wear it around the house and not in public, what do you think, Monica?
Sure. I agree.
So you did a great job crewing. Appreciate you being everywhere you could. I just think 4 hours... 3 hours and 50 minutes to do 14 more miles, 13 more miles, and included in there is two mountain climbs. I don't think I can do that. There's nowhere to get pulled off the course up there. Maybe at Camp Marty, but you'll wait. And I don't want, I didn't want to wait. If there was one more crew access point on that one like 6 mile stretch that was relatively flat through those three through this canyon right here, this valley. Yeah, I could have probably made it to that, knowing that I could get pulled out there and get the marathon mark. But it doesn't really matter. It's a DNF. It's not a marathon. It's a nothing finish. Oh, gosh, we're like 5 minutes from the cabin.
Yeah, we're not far at all.
Ah. I mean, I ran 21 fucking miles through these mountains, and we're just 3 miles from the cabin. All right. More later. Well, not all is lost. I mean, we get to spend the afternoon more time together.
Yeah.
This afternoon, we could even drive.
A nap.
Take a nap. Need to get something to eat.
I actually have something for you to buy.
Oh. Yeah, get cleaned up. Take a nap. We can have an early dinner.
At the ammo in Delhi. They had homemade biscuits.
Yeah, 22 ammo and a revolver for sale.
Yeah, I got you an egg and cheese and sausage biscuit and tater tots when you're ready to eat.
Oh, they're in the car?
Yeah.
Oh. How's it look?
Delicious.
All right. Well, we'll go up to the cabin and heat it up.
And this morning for breakfast, I had the cabin people made a homemade breakfast this morning.
All right.
Homemade biscuits.
Wow.
So I got one.
So yeah, there's some lesson learned there. Don't sit on your laurels.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed, but I kind of knew this was going to happen. I had a feeling because after I did after I finished, I think, the first 8 miles, knowing that's the last 8 miles of the course, I think at that point I knew that that was something I don't think I was going to be able to do.
You couldn't do that a second time.
It was pretty up there, so I took some great pictures. Gosh, there's some gorgeous views from when you were in the corner of the top of the valley where the mountains are in a corner. I don't know what that's called. You know, I should have got off my ass and gone out to Poor Farm Park and run them trails every. Instead, after the 50 miler at the beach, I just sat on my laurels.
Your laurels and, being your ass.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to call this a nice 21 mile run.
Well, it's still pretty impressive because it was a really difficult course.
Yeah, but it's not a finish. All right, that's the road we took to Wintergreen, right?
Yeah.
Well, now I know what it is. Sandy, you didn't tell me those trails were that hard.
Oh, she's done this before?
Yeah. I think she did the 50 miler.
Sandy's a badass. Maybe she didn't think they were that hard.
Well, I'm not a badass today. I have been a badass on other days.
Today is not a badass.
But today is not my day. Oh, gosh, it feels good to sit down.
By the way, it never, never warmed up.
No, and I'm cold. It's 36 degrees. Yeah. I got cold. I have not warmed up.
I think it's actually snowed a little bit earlier.
It was flurrying at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a whole host of excuses. I'll even make some up.
And that was the end of my race. Oh, there's so many lessons learned there. You know, I could go through a whole host of excuses why I couldn't make it. Main thing was just wasn't properly trained. It's just the irony of a month and a week before that, I ran one of the best 50-mile races of my life. And then a month and a week later, I'm in a completely different environment, and I barely made it to 20 and a half or whatever it was, 20.8 miles. If there was another aid station where I could have been extricated from, I would have kept on going just to keep running because I knew it was flat, but there was nowhere else to get pulled, and I knew that, and that became in my brain. You know, you got to be able to rationalize why you're making your decision, especially when you're a long distance runner, and this is, you know, these kinds of events are what feed my soul. They're fun, they're hard. I wanted it to be hard, and it was hard. It was harder than I thought, obviously. I guess the biggest lesson or biggest takeaway is that I've learned is that when I do these, and I think it was my 33rd or 34th attempt at a marathon plus distance, or marathon plus distance, it's not always a sure thing that you're going to finish. And if it was, then why do it? You know, if you just go out there and it's easy, I don't want it to be easy. I want it to be hard, and I want the experience. And being in the mountains was beautiful. You really earned the climb. I remember there was one climb. It was near the beginning because I passed a father daughter doing the 25K. I kept getting closer and closer to him, and you know, we're going the same pace. So it appeared it was going to be a time where, like, you know, for the next 20 minutes, I was going to be right on their tail. So I finally sped up to pass them because they weren't, you know, I tried to engage a little conversation, but it didn't happen. And we were at the top of the mountain, but we kept going up and up and up on this ridge. And it was just absolutely gorgeous. It was an overcast day, but you could really see far. You know, the mountains, the trees weren't green yet, but it was just spectacular. The views were. But you earned that. You had to climb up to get that. But the big, going back to what I was saying, the biggest takeaway, of course, is that none of these things are ever a sure thing, and you're going to develop problems. I was not able to overcome my problems for that day. And so what I've learned is when I get to that spot, I need to have a different plan. I was worried about getting injured, and that is a big concern of mine doing ultra marathons. It's always a concern, you know, with blistering. This was not a blister problem race. I didn't have any blisters at all, even running in the wet shoe. it was actually my muscle issue that I was worried about maybe hurting. So here it is. I'm producing the podcast on Tuesday, Wednesday of the week after the race. I can barely go down the stairs without holding the banister because my quads are done. And my calves are just, they just screaming in pain when I'm walking. I walked my dog today for 2 miles and I just endured it thinking that would, you know, heat the muscle up and let it warm and maybe, you know, stretch it out a little bit. And it helped a little bit. It doesn't help matters much that we just had a load of wood ordered that I need to stack. Maybe I'll do that later. I took the whole week off from work knowing I'd be, in tatters. I just thought I'd have a finish. I took it for granted is what I did. I took the distance for granted. I took the mountains for granted. I will never do that again, that's for sure. But it was a great experience overall. I sat in the cabin looking out the window watching people finish, and the cutoff was 3 o'clock for the 50K. And where our cabin was, I could look out the window and see people finishing, coming up from the parkway, going across the resort area where there were some people with RVs and tents, and then mostly, you know, it was cabins going down towards the finish. And I just sat there watching, every 15, 20 minutes or so, somebody would come through, some people I recognized, and I think I'd already mentioned that, but it was just, wow, that person went the whole way. They looked like they were really struggling. Somehow they climbed up those two last climbs. And I had some regret, you know, like maybe I could have stayed out there. But I don't know. I could sit here and keep making an excuse because I did fear injury. And I have promised my wife that I won't, if I know I'm getting hurt, that I will stop. It's a great excuse. It works. It works with your spouse. So she doesn't care whether I finish or I don't. She just wants me to be happy. So that's all. I think that's all we really all want anyway. All right. Well, that's, I could analyze this 6 ways from Sunday. I could keep going on and on and on. I have some cool emails from people who have listened to the show over the years and checked in. So I want to get to that. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you've listened this far, thanks for listening to the analysis of the race. I had a good experience out there. I recommend it, that race, to anybody who wants a real challenge. And my hat is off to 50-mile finishers for that. Any finishers, and even the 25K. And to think that I actually considered the 50-mile on this, boy, am I a jackass. All right, let's look at the email bag section of the show. All right, like I said, I had several regular listeners check in, and I heard from Bruce, who I hadn't heard from in a long time, so that's pretty cool. We'll start with Sandy. Sandy's a regular listener. Always nice to hear from Sandy. We've actually run... we ran the Blue Ridge Marathon together several years ago, which is in the books as one of my best marathon experiences ever. That was a pretty hilly course, too, but for some reason it was a lot easier that day. In the beautiful Roanoke Valley, southwest Virginia, not true southwest, but southwest of here, not central Virginia, definitely southwestern Virginia. Anyway, it looks like Sandy... working on getting her running mojo back. She had a few setbacks. She fell in the ice. She's up in Michigan. She's got a cold, sinus infection, ready for spring to be here. She is doing her next race in April in Massachusetts, which will be she'll be checking off another state in her 50-state quest, which she's got to be getting close. And then she asked how many I had. I think I have 8, and I'll have to check my spreadsheet. I got a lot of repeats in there, meaning... I think I've done 3 or 4 in North Carolina, done more than 1 in Maryland. I think I've done 3 in Maryland. So yeah, I kind of waste a lot of time by doing repeats. I don't know. I do want to try that 50 state thing. Maybe after I switch careers and get into a job that I'm truly off on the weekends and I can do a little more traveling and don't have to worry about being tied to a cell phone so much. Boy, it's going to be nice to change that lifestyle. But yeah, Sandy, thanks for listening to the show. And thanks for being a loyal friend. It's always good to hear from you. All right, now, Down Under Dave has been listening a long time. He has been interviewed before. This is David Williams from New Zealand. he's got two big races. One is this year, one is next year. The biggest news is that he's signing up for one called Alps. The Alps to Ocean Ultra, which is in New Zealand, 335 kilometers. Starts at the base of New Zealand's highest mountain, Mount Cook. Goes by eight lakes, valleys, rivers, diverse terrain. It's multiple days, February 24th, 2019 through March 2nd, 2019. The race goals are to bring people to God Zone, showcase our amazing country, to host an inclusive race catering for the elite athlete to the bucket lister, and then to contribute any profits to the community with a focus on youth. He says he is registered for that. He's also doing the Big Red Run this year, which is June 22nd to July 2nd. June 27th to July 2nd, 2018. He did it last year. It's 250 kilometers through Australia. Down Under Dave is definitely a badass. But he told his wife about the Alps to Ocean multi-day race in New Zealand, and he said it didn't go down too well with his wife. So anyway, good to hear from you, Dave. I love it when you check in. And, man, it's incredible what you do. It really is. I heard from Tim Smith. Tim runs the Topics in Endurance Sports podcast. He's been listening to the podcast for about 2 to 3 years, he said. And he's going to be doing the UROC 100K in May, which is Francesca Conti's other race that she does. She's the one that directed the Belmonte endurance runs that I attempted this past weekend. So it'll be in the same mountain range. It's really going to be similar, terrain. So hopefully, Tim, you got your hill training done. The reason that brings in elites is because it has a purse, and so a lot of people go in for that. But good, Tim, good to hear from you. I'm going to link to your website and your podcast at ashlanddave@gmail.com, so I'll make sure I do that. I'm going to make a note so I don't forget. Do appreciate you listening to the show. Always good to hear from you. Shelly checked in. She's still here after all the years and episodes. I think she started listening in 2009. One of the first podcasts she found me from Dirt Dog, who is no longer doing the Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe podcast, which I listened to for several years. And she likes the mid-race live segment. So, Shelly, hopefully you enjoyed this show. Even though I didn't finish the race, I did get some good audio clips in there. Always good to hear from you. And she hails out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And Tim was out of Ohio, I believe. Forgot to mention that. So, Shelly, nice to hear from you. And her, like I mentioned earlier, Bruce, he's from Ohio as well. He thinks he's listening right from about the start. He used to do a podcast himself, and he's thinking about picking it up again. Let's see. He's done about 10 marathons, 50K, 2 marathons playing this year, so that's awesome. And always good to hear from you, Bruce. I think you said you emailed me from an old email 6 or 7 years ago. I didn't remember that email address, but I do remember your name, and I do appreciate you hearing from me. His podcast was called Confessions of a Race Addict, and he's thinking about giving that a try again. So Bruce, thanks for checking in. I really do appreciate it. I heard from Keith. He's from Texas, and he says he's been listening a long time. He can't really remember. He started listening to podcasts 10 or 12 years ago. Came across Dirt Dogs, and Keith is kind of he's short to the point in these emails, which I like. Says, I'm glad you checked in. I really do appreciate it. I heard from my friend Chris Colby, who's local. He says, Dave, great podcast. Listen to the listener roll call. As you know, I live in Beaver Dam, do zero running. But as a former athlete, I appreciate hearing about training prep and race experiences. And I have the honor of being Chris's son's godfather. His son's name is Stuart. My wife and I, Monica, are the godparents. Chris was a competitive swimmer at Washington Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, some years back. And we go to the same parish. So we've become good friends. And he listens to the show, even though he's not a runner. And it's kind of cool to hear from you, Chris. I appreciate that a whole lot. and heard from Thomas. Thomas has listened for a long time. He thinks he's been around since the inception. I think Thomas has been listening the whole time. He's a professor down at Appalachian State University. And he says he is mountain biking in Tennessee and Alabama. He sent me a couple maps, which are just incredible. And he has been following the East Coast Trail Runner podcast. And he's going to be on. He was on that for a local episode. I'm adding that one to my list because I need to expand a little bit and get out and listen to some stuff that's non-political, if you know what I mean. So, Thomas, appreciate you checking in. And I know there's others out there who listen to the show on a regular basis. You can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Just tell me where you hail from, maybe how long you've been listening, if you know. And I don't keep any of this data. I just like to engage. I don't try to market you or anything with your email. Matter of fact, after I read the email and share it with the listeners, I pretty much just delete them and move on to the next thing. But I do remember the names, and it's always nice to hear from folks. It's much appreciated. I'm also going to link to Sandy's site because she's been a regular listener to the show. And she keeps a blog on some of the stuff that she's been up to, and she's going to be doing this, trying this new thing called plogging, which is picking up trash while you're jogging or running. And I'm all about picking up litter. And she had sent me a video about some guys that were doing that. Sometimes I do that anyway. There's a block. I live on a street that has two vacant blocks. One is across the street from me, and then the other is two blocks up on the same side. And these are the two blocks where the people who cut through this area of the neighborhood like to throw their 40 ounce or whatever. So I usually have something to pick up over there. And one of these days I want to catch them. Littering is a class one misdemeanor in Virginia, which is the same as a DUI. And I know it's the same person because it's usually the same brand. And it's on a regular frequency, not every day, but like every 3 days. And then the person will switch to a different beer. And they'll do that for a while, and then they'll switch to something else. So I know it's the same person. Anyway, Sandy, it's kind of cool that you're doing that. And all right, well, that's it for this episode of the podcast. I'll be back with another one soon. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And thanks for listening to the show. Y'all have a good week.